T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline on the sports this morning. Our special guest is Eric Martins, of course, the executive director of the Minnesota State High School League, and they're responsible not just for sports. I know we focus a lot on that, but also arts and academics and other things. And Eric, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. I'm doing well and glad to be here with you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I know your schedule has just been unbelievable lately, as it has been for athletic directors and for people coordinating events. I just mentioned, I think we have two more high school football games on this Tuesday. Eric, so far, having high school sports, some of them be played, what's it been like for you and what's the reaction from the communities?
You know, I think first and foremost, it's about the kids and what experience they're having. They've been incredibly resilient and flexible. I think they're probably better than many of the adults in the fact of, you know, I think sometimes they're going to school in the morning thinking they're playing one game and then a volleyball team has to cancel and they switch and they play somebody else. And it doesn't matter. They're excited to be out there and be able to play. And, you know, so they're doing a great job. And certainly there continues to be significant passion around activities and the opportunity for our kids. Our activities, both athletics and fine arts, are ways for kids to connect with one another and connect back to their school community. And right now is a time when it's really difficult. We hear a lot about hybrid and distance learning and those kinds of things. So a school environment's quite a bit different. So we're glad that we're able to do this. And that's hats off to so many folks around our programs, especially at the local school level, for making it happen and making it be as safe as it can be.
Let's talk with Superintendent Law up at Anoka Hennepin, Erica, this week. And they're going to distance learning, but they're able to keep the extracurriculars. And I'm sure other schools may be thinking about the same thing. What is the ruling there? Are you able to keep your extracurriculars going even if you distance learn?
Yeah, it's one of the maybe most misunderstood aspects. We started the school year with a really clear set of metrics around county case counts, you know, the case number per 10,000. And the Department of Ed has gotten far more nuanced than that and has drilled down even deeper to look at community-wide infections and also what impact's been happening at the school level. So while there may be some numbers that look pretty high in certain places, the schools and communities are doing good things to reduce the number of cases and keep that spread to a minimum. They have some greater flexibility to be able to do that. So the schools work directly with the Department of Ed in regards to that. As a high school league, we communicate with our ADs on a regular basis. We're on every Thursday with them, and so we've got one coming here today at 10:45. And we talk through those processes, and we share what those rules and expectations are. But each of those communities should be working directly with their regional support teams and their county health folks to take a look, really, what's going on within their school setting to try and provide those opportunities.
Eric, you mentioned the Department of Education. So what role do they play, for example, in determining who attends events?
Yeah, so the guidance around number of spectators and so on resides with the Department of Health and the Department of Ed, basically at the state level, taking a look at things and the governor's orders in regards to, you know, no greater than 250 people can be at an event. And then when we start talking about educational settings, it's obviously about safety, and it always been a priority there to keep people safe. And so limitations inside have peaked at 25% of the venue capacity or 2 spectators per participant. And so we just really work hard with those guidelines from the state level and help our schools navigate that and put together plans that are going to assist in doing that. But those come from the state level in terms of what those requirements are.
Eric, as you know, much written and talked about yesterday about fees for high schools from the high school league. Any reaction to what you read and heard? Any kind of clarifications?
Well, obviously, my name's in the article quite a bit, and that's the person that they're going to speak to in regards to that. And And I think that where we're at in terms of the membership dues, as we call them, our schools are all members of the state high school league. And it's important to know that, you know, more than half of our schools are high schools smaller than 250 students. Yet we have some high schools that are really, really big. And so when our dues have had to go up, and we hear all the time about organizations that are really impacted, we certainly are, because so much of our revenue comes from our state tournaments, and they're not the only thing we do, but they provide a great deal of resource. So when those went away, we've continued to offer all of our programs and focus on doing that throughout the year. That means that we're going to have to get that resource somewhere else. And we have gone to our members and said, we're looking for more for us to be able to keep providing the opportunities that you've asked for. And so our focus now in taking a look at that, our board had a workshop yesterday, and we're going to continue to take a look. We're now 2 months down the road, and we know a little bit more about where our year is going. We're going to take a look at just where we are exactly financially, and if there's a way to do some adjustments, I think that there's certainly going to be an opportunity for us to take a look at that. And we've heard very clearly that, you know, we know that bigger schools are going to pay more than smaller schools, and then trying to find that right balance of what that spread looks like is going to be critical.
Is there any way to know if we'll have state tournaments this winter for the winter sports?
No, I wish I had that crystal ball, Dave, and we continue to plan for it. I think people need to know that the process, even to get sports started, begins with the writing of all the guidance. And we take a look at a lot of different documents. We rely on our sports medicine advisory, some great medical experts who take a look at what the safest things are. And our best indicator is if we can do seasons well and continue to do them well as we did in the fall. And I continue to say hats off to our soccer and our girls swim and dive and our girls tennis and, you know, our cross-country folks for doing such a great job this fall and demonstrating that we can do these activities and we can keep kids safe and provide those. That's part of our progression of working our way from practice to competition all the way to final culminating events. And so we'll continue to look forward to that. We would love to be in that position for our winter seasons, and we continue to, you know, advocate for those opportunities for our kids.
Eric, I know you've got a meeting coming up. I'll let you go in a second. I do wonder about this, though, just seeing some concern about coaching kids outside of the season. Are you getting requests for waivers that coaches can do things like that, or can they do things like that?
So the rules are pretty clear that there's a coaching waiver period in the summertime. So our high school coaches can work with the students in their programs at the high school level during the summertime, during that waiver period, which is basically the months of June and July. During the school year, our coaches should not have coaching access to our students. I think the reason that this has gained so much energy this year and has brought questions forward is because of the change in when the typical season is, specifically with football and volleyball. That's been noticed with a late start to it, had some outside providers step in and start providing things and then needed to pull back. And so our rules don't go away, that when they're in season, our students can only be part of the high school team, not part of a non-school team. And then the other aspect is if they're working outside of the season, students can certainly play other organizational activities, and they do that, but our coaches should not be involved. And so we continue to work, again, directly with our schools and share information on that so that people really understand those rules well and first and foremost, keep our kids safe. Part of that's about trying to focus on reducing overuse injuries and, you know, just that burnout that happens for our students sometimes when they try to do so many things all at the same time. We want to be really thoughtful and careful about that.
Eric, always appreciate your time. I know it's really valuable right now, too, and I know there's many of the things that at some point we'll chat more about, the need for officials at that level and these robotics teams doing this thing where they made masks for people. There's some cool stuff happening, too. Eric, I appreciate that. Have a great day, and pace yourself. I know you're in for another long one. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dave. Stay well.
Eric Martins, Executive Director of the Minnesota State High School League on WCCO at 747. Traffic and weather coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.